Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to Out of Print. This is a podcast with a cultural... Fucking hell. I feel like I'm overthinking it. Hello and welcome to Out of Print. This is a cultural podcast with a literary twist hosted by myself, Alice.
Me, Emmeline.
And myself, Sophie. And I have brought in this week's thesis. This episode is called It's Shite Being Scottish. But before, I don't know, for anyone who's watching the podcast, I am wearing a Scotland t-shirt. Of course, it's not shite being Scottish because Scotland is making it to the World Cup for the first time in 27 years.
Woohoo.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure if that means anything to you beautiful English ladies, but it's a big deal.
I know it's been
Scotland.
A while. I know it's been a while.
Yeah. We're due our turn. Anyway, before I get into the weeds of stuff, how are you guys? Alice, you've been complaining about your back.
Yeah, so basically I turned 26 a couple months ago in September, and since turning 26, I have pulled the exact same set of muscles in my lower back twice in the past 2 months. The first time I had my leg up, I was standing with my leg up on the toilet seat.
Wait, what?
And I was applying thrush cream.
Oh, okay.
And I just twisted slightly wrong and did my back in. And then this time, so last night, I decided spontaneously to reorganize my cupboards, namely my vast growing selection of yarn. And as I was putting one of the crates down full of yarn, I sneezed and it just did something. I don't know what, but I can't be this decrepit at 26, like that is
an OAP injury if ever I've heard one.
It's really bad.
Back injury through sneezing and yarn placement.
You've got to make up some news stories as to how you get these injuries.
Well, that and the thrush cream compared together
creates quite a bit composite picture of Alice.
Yeah, it's a good slice of Alice.
But I don't get it though, because Alice will go out and get absolutely fucking destroyed and then we'll go off to sex parties and stuff and you always come back miraculously unscathed.
Yeah, I'm never physically injured.
And then you put your fucking back out by organising a yarn cupboard and putting cream on your fanny. It's just not, it's not right. It's not right.
Talk about dialect. Yeah. This is... I don't know if we should include this in the pod, but I'm interested in... did you have that lesson at school where they were like... What word do you use to refer to female and male genitalia?
Because that
was the first time for me where I was like, oh, people say things very differently depending on what household they've been brought up.
You know
in.
What I hate? I hate front bum.
Oh,
front bottom and back bottom. That happened in our house.
Really?
Yeah. It just, you know, it's clinical. It's clean.
Front bum.
It's descriptive. Yeah.
But you don't get. You guys aren't a mucky house. And in my house, it's arse and fanny. and knob.
Knob.
Knob, yeah.
You were saying knob at the age of 5?
No, I mean as an adult. No.
Oh, okay.
I'm,
no, like when you're a child.
You're primary school.
Oh, when no, yeah, be a willy.
Yeah, a willy. Yeah. A willy's strong. Willy's strong.
Okay.
But I just remember like learning those words that like there was someone that called it a UU. And
someone will call it like oh granny, or like they always have weird words
or
for
like
it.
Like fluff
or flower petal, like
yeah,
there's quite
no,
a few that are like
yeah.
flower
yeah. No, we use front bum and back bum as children, and then I've graduated to fanny.
It was as shocking to me as learning that some people put the cutlery in the dishwasher like usage side up, and also that people face different directions in the shower. Those two things blew my mind.
Which way do you face?
I face towards the shower, like the back of the shower.
I rotate like a kebab.
Yeah, if I'm washing my hair, then I'm all in. If I'm not washing my hair, then I'm facing it. But I do tend to sort of
move around. That's renegade. I did see a very funny TikTok the other day about a guy, like when guys... like when two people have a shower together, but stereotypically like a man and a woman, and that from the guy's perspective of just being cold in the corner of the shower while the woman does her hair care routine.
Yeah. When I shower with my boyfriend, he's washing the conditioner at my hair.
Oh yeah, that's
he's put
that's,
to work.
That's it's well trained.
I was like, this is not sexy. You're in here to do a job.
Yeah.
Let's make that clear. Yeah. Shall we launch
Please,
into this?
Yeah.
So, as I said before, this episode is called It's Shite Being Scottish. In case it wasn't very apparent from my accent, I am from Scotland. I'm from Glasgow. But bit of context in case you're wondering why my accent is so sort of fucked up and weird. I did actually grow up in New Zealand. So I have this weird kind of experience of being both like a linguistic insider and a linguistic outsider to the Glasgow dialect, because even though I was born in Glasgow, I don't have any memories of it until I moved back there when I was 13. So let's get into it. I'll give you guys a little bit of a whistle stop tour about the Glasgow dialect. It's quite famous because anyone who has ever seen Glasgow, like Twitter, like tweets written in the Glasgow dialect, I don't know if you guys are familiar.
My Glasgow dialect is that knowledge, is that extends that song, you canny push your granny off the bus.
Oh, fucking belter. A classic text. Yeah, so obviously that's like a kid's song, but you'll be very aware that like in Glasgow we'll spell things differently to very much mimic how things are said. So I've got here, Urban Glasgow English, also known as GE, is basically like near unintelligible to the outsider. And you guys might have had this when you've come up to visit me in Glasgow. You'll meet the occasional person where you're like, I literally can't understand what you're saying.
Oh, we had some difficult conversations.
So it's not only is it like a really thick regional accent spoken at a rapid pace, but it's also primarily composed of slang and dialectic phrases, and it is densely expletive. So there's this thing called expletive infixation, where Glaswegians will essentially cleave their words in half to say words like, instead of saying de-stress, they would say de-fucking stress. Or instead of saying absolutely, they'd say abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
And I know that that happens in other parts of the UK, but it's really strong in Glasgow as well. For those of us who use it and who speak Glasgow English, it is beloved by those who use it. It's really interesting because the appeal of the Glasgow dialect for Glaswegians is that it's difficult to understand for outsiders. So the way that I always view it is like, understanding the Glasgow dialect is kind of like a linguistic tariff on like Glaswegian identity. So essentially it's like, it's pay to play. Like if you don't understand the dialect, you can't access the culture, because so much of it is based around Glasgow memes or like the type of like banter that people have back and forth. And like, if you can't unlock that, you can't unlock culture. It's the same across cultures all across the world, where slang is kind of the key to unlocking that. But basically, one of the first things that I wanted to talk about, because I've had experience of both moving to an inner city state comp in Glasgow and being like, oh, fuck, I need to get up to speed with what the slang is and what the crack is very, very quickly, or I'm not going to fit in here. And I wanted to talk to you guys about anti-language. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
So, Alice, are you...
Could you explain it?
So there's a term called anti-society, which is basically within a society. So like, let's say within the UK, there is another kind of little society that's set up within it that kind of acts in contradiction to it.
Like a counterculture?
Yeah, exactly. So exactly. Because it's kind of like a mode of resistance against like whatever the dominant culture is.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be anything from like, it can be symbiotic and quite like a passive way. So like they exist peacefully alongside each other. Or it can be something that's like hostile and is used to actively kind of take on the dominant culture within an area, and it can be quite destructive. And then anti-language is generated by anti-society. So it's like, what are the terms that are used that sort of evolve out of that? And Glasgow is a kind of interesting example of this. Some people are going to disagree with this, but I'm going to persist with the point. So Glasgow sees itself very much as its own entity. It doesn't even really see itself as part of the UK. Most people don't. Maybe if you're a Rangers fan, you do. But a lot of Glaswegians are very much associate themselves with being Scottish, but also with being from Glasgow. You'll meet someone from Glasgow and they'll be like, Edinburgh, oh, that's basically England. Like, kind of, who cares about that? We're from Glasgow, born in Glasgow, die in Glasgow. It's very much that culture. So Glasgow's kind of set up its own sort of anti-language to basically keep people from other places in the UK out of accessing Glasgow culture. It's quite protective over it. Mm-hmm. And there are a few kind of remarkers of this. There's like relexicalization, which is where you use the same grammar but different vocab. That's basically just like slang, words that relate to subculture. And then overlexicalization, which is like the overuse of words. So for example, like Glaswegians have like 50 different words to say getting drunk because that's like part of the culture. And then the classic example that everyone uses is like...
It's like in some parts of sort of remote, colder places in the world, they have 50 different words for snow.
That's
like,
exactly what I was going to say. Apparently that's not even true.
I've heard many. Well, there was a really interesting book that I read, and I'm not going to be able to remember it now, but maybe I can look it up afterwards and leave it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Because I did a lot of English language at A-level and at university. And there's a really interesting book about, linguistic development and the idea that our language is a way in which we perceive and understand the world around us.
And
it can go both ways. So your language can determine your environment, or your environment can determine your language. It's like a two-way...
100%.
Two-way street. And there's definitely a common argument that there are a group of people that have 50 different words for snow because they live amongst the snow.
Yeah.
And therefore... You know, when it snows, we think, it's snow. But when they look outside, they think, and then the particular type of snow. And you understand that their brain is more attuned to something that we're not attuned to because of our language.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you could say the same thing about people who are like biologists. You know, we look at something and we say, that's a flower. But someone who's a biologist and like, is in that circuit.
Stigma petioli.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You're able to access and like understand and process the words based on if you have the language and you're kind of like within the culture. So.
And we like getting drunk. Well, I guess it's like Glasgow specifically, but also in the UK, there's so many different words for drunk.
100%. There's also that funny sketch. I think it might be a Michael McIntyre sketch where it's like you add ED onto the end of any word and it means that you're drunk. Like, try it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess even when I'm trying to think of examples like bottled and trolleyed, like those are already.
You could say I was windowed last night.
Yeah,
I was blasted. I was car parked last night.
I was laundried.
Yeah, anything. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can say just about anything, which is really fun. And actually, I was going to do this later, but maybe this would be fun to do now. Would you guys like to do a little test on some Glasgow slang?
I'd love a test.
Maybe I'll do you guys want to buzz in by saying your name, or do you want to choose a buzzer sound? Or
I think we should choose a buzzer sound.
Yeah, sound.
Okay, Alice, what's yours?
Are we making it with our mouths?
I think
Or
your body.
Okay, perfect. Emzo.
I'm going whoa.
Okay, nice. All right, and you can ask me to use it in a sentence, like we're in a spelling bee.
We're not allowed to do that. We are allowed to do that.
You are allowed to do it. Square go. What's a square go?
This is all Glaswegian dialect.
This is a mixture of probably Glasgow dialect, which is a mixture of modern slang and Scots as well.
Square go.
Yep.
Can you use it in a sentence?
He asked me for a square go. It's a noun.
No. For a square go.
Yeah.
He asked me for a square go.
Square go.
Ow, wow.
Emzo.
I'm just going to guess that it's some kind of drink based on the conversation that we've been having.
Alice.
Gum.
No, it's a fight.
Oh, square. If you square up to someone.
Yeah.
I kind of got that.
But I remember being a kid and like... in school, because when I moved to high school in Glasgow, I couldn't fucking understand what anyone was saying, and then people were having to be like, all right, Sophie, this is what a square go means, da da da, and having to like walk me through it.
Whoa.
Okay, we'll go rapid fire on these. Okay. Right, what is the close? Yeah,
You might have to use it in a sentence for us.
He met me in the close.
Bleh.
Alice. I'm not sure this is a good idea, the buzzing.
It's quite scary.
It's really haunting. Okay.
Is it the toilets?
It's not. It's a stairwell.
Oh, yeah.
So in tenement houses, you have like communal stairwells. That's humming. If I was like, oh my God, it's humming in there.
Bleh.
Alice.
Stinky.
Stinky. Yeah, good. Mad riot.
Woo! Is that the same as where you can break it down to mad with it?
Yeah, but it's almost always said mad with it, or shortened to MWI.
Yeah, I've... Yeah, that means, like, I've heard this so many times before. If you're mad with it, you're like, are you, like, hip to it?
No. Like, down with it?
Nah, again, you're steaming.
You're mad with it. Oh, you're drunk. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Bra.
Whoa.
Go on.
Is that also a fight?
It's like being bold. Oh, that's bra. Like,
oh, bold, bra. Not bald. Okay.
Oh, bold. Like,
that's
a niche. I thought you meant that's bold. A niche term.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah. Why are you bullying bald people in Glasgow? Yeah.
We've only bold. Got, no, that's just boldy. We've only got a few more, but I'll keep running through
it. Great. I'm doing it.
What is clatty?
Whoa. Does that mean ugly?
Clatty's dirty. What's a bam?
Whoa.
You didn't sound very sure on that one.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is it food related?
No, a bam is like a wee guy who's just like going around like causing trouble.
I love that. It's a bam.
Yeah, or like that's bammy behaviour. It's someone who's like, you know, just like pushing all the trolleys around, tipping over like bikes, stuff like that.
Like childish. Alice, you're a bam.
But it's
Gralis is a bam.
You're a bam with your yarn.
Yeah. It's very like associated with kind of what are those things that people get? Like asbos.
Okay, I take it back. You're not.
Yeah,
back.
I was gonna say.
That feels
out of pocket.
I'm not sure about that. Okay, so gex. This is a noun.
Bleh.
Yeah.
Trousers.
No,
glasses.
Not. Your glasses. Yeah.
We'll come into this also. Yeah. In Yorkshire, we say kex for trousers. We'll come on to that.
Gee at Aldi.
Yeah. Well. It's when you need to go to Aldi to get your shopping, right?
I wish we had a time for that. No, it's giving it your all. Giving it a good shot.
Giving it. I'll again, please.
Gee at Aldi.
Gee at Aldi.
Yeah, good.
Gee at Aldi.
No, Gia you're Laldi. Saying Aldi.
Yeah, that's my bad. Yeah,
don't. Get Laldi.
Get Laldi.
So it's
Get
like.
Get Laldi.
If you were about Get to play Laldi. A football match and I wanted to encourage you, I'd be like, go on, get Laldi. I'd be like, go, like, get out there, give it your all, like, okay. Do your best. This is also, quite a lot of these are like pejorative terms. A chuchta.
Woo.
Yeah.
It's a shoplifter, stealer?
No, that's quite a good guess though. But it's basically a term that those of us in the lowlands, so like down near Glasgow, used to call people in the highlands.
Oh.
So we're like, oh, he's a chuchta. He's like a sheep shaggy.
Yeah.
Hodger wished. Yeah.
Penis?
No. Hodger wished means shut up.
Oh. And then he got his Hodger wish out.
Hodger wish. Peely Wally.
It's gotta be penis.
It's not. You guys have got.
Peely Wally.
You've got cock on the brain. It means pale. It means you're pale.
Oh
you're looking a wee bit peely Wally.
Peely Wally.
You see how much I self censor to be around. You guys could have no idea what I was saying.
I'd love to incorporate some of these terms into our conversations.
Those are all very much dialect terms, but there's also certain phrases which already exist within English but mean something different in a cultural context. So I will use these to kind of back up the point that I'm trying to make about how dialect sort of unlocks that Glasgow culture. Wreck the hoose juice.
Whoa, are we still doing that? Is it Buckfast?
It is Buckfast.
Oh, wreck the house juice.
Yeah.
So this next term is something that really confused me when I started at a Glaswegian high school. When I met with the teachers on my first day of school, they said to me, because I went to a non-uniform school, they said, no colours. What do you think that means?
No colours?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it sports like affiliation with your team?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So in Glasgow, there's this thing called Old Firm Day, which is when Rangers and Celtic play each other. Historically, there's lots of trouble because it's very much linked to sectarianism. There's certain bars that if you're a Rangers fan, you can't go into them. There's certain bars where if you're a Celtic fan, you can't go into a Rangers bar. You'll end up in bother. And I thought that meant that you could only wear black and white. And then they meant, no, like, you can't come in wearing a blue and red football strip for Rangers. You can't come in wearing green for Celtic. But I had no idea because football just wasn't really a thing in that way in New Zealand. Like, people aren't as tribal about their teams, or certainly not in a way that ends up in violence or can be dangerous. It's so linked to the cultural experience of not just living in Glasgow, but in the wider UK, where like football culture is so different to how it was back in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And it's like, even if you arrive fluent in English, like I did, like New Zealand's an English speaking country apart from Māori, you really show up and you're like, holy shit, I have so much that I have to get up to speed, or not really going to be able to communicate with anyone. I would also just like to specify, Glaswegians are so welcoming. We have a really great culture of integrating refugees. But again, it's very much like you need to get down with the lingo. Once you familiarise yourself with the dialect, the door to Glaswegian culture really swings open. So you enter a world of extremes where everything is like top class or fucking pish. And everyone's either absolutely buzzing or totally raging. Like, you're never like, if someone's like, how are you? You're never like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You're either like, I'm fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Or you're like, this is literally the worst day of my life.
Yeah.
And you memorise key chants such as, here we fucking go. And you learn that like a concert never truly starts until people have yelled it, until your voices are hoarse. And you recognise cultural movements like tapsaf, where one removes one's shirt, most often for warm weather, but sometimes take your taps off for reasons of antagonism, and you could be Pili Wally.
I could be Pili Wally. Get a bit
taps off your Pili Wally underneath. Yeah. And then I've got here, talk about the word specky. So it's important anthropological phenomena unique to Glasgow. So if you call someone specky, it's one of the last places in the world where it's still a legitimate insult. And you don't actually have to wear glasses to be considered specky. You can just have a sort of specky aura. Anyway, I've been talking a lot about Glasgow. Let's talk about where you guys are from, your favourite slang.
Well, actually, I sort of resonated with a lot of the stuff that you were saying, because whether you can detect it from my voice or not, I'm from Yorkshire, West Yorkshire specifically, Huddersfield, up the Hud. And I grew up with actually a really strong Yorkshire accent, which I don't have very much anymore. It mainly comes out when I like read things sometimes. Which is interesting. And I particularly had grandparents who have lived in the village their whole lives, the village of Marsden in West Yorkshire, and are very sort of lexically representative of their area. Their dialect, their tone of voice is just super Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people I know, and that it's a way of communicating with people, because like you said, it's a way of someone saying to someone else, I understand you. I'm from where you're from. This is a sort of special thing that we share.
We're in a community.
And we have this
together.
Community. So in Yorkshire, there are just, not as well as certain words, there are certain sort of grammatical constructions and linguistic constructions that you use to describe your day-to-day life. So instead of going to the shops, you're going to shops.
Going to shops.
Anything and nothing. Oh, no. You know, a lot of these things you'll be familiar with. But then there's a lot of like really old Yorkshire that's specifically in place. Like my grandma calls sweets sprogs.
Well, sprogs are kids, no?
Well, in Yorkshire.
Interesting.
See, this is the thing, because there are a lot of things like, you know, we just talk about kecks being trousers. So get your kecks on, my granddad would say. Not that I was walking around without trousers half the time. But like, that's also an expression that means like, get your kecks on, like as in we're leaving the house, get ready to go, get your kecks on.
Yeah.
Sprogs, sweets. But some of these words will mean particularly different things to like particularly different communities, even regionally within the UK.
Yeah.
So, you know, if someone is listening globally, hi, welcome. What a phenomena. The UK, it's so expansive, even though we're sort of geographically smaller than other countries, depending on which side of the border you're on, you can call the same, you know, bread loaf a different thing. Is it a bun?
God,
is it a bap? Is it a scone? Butty. Is it a scone? Is it a butty? Like,
And it's so related to class as well. Like, even within Glasgow, have you heard of the Glasgow Uni accent?
Glasgow Uni.
Yeah. So I unfortunately probably have a Glasgow Uni accent, which is basically a way of saying you grew up in Glasgow but you sound like a bit of a wanker, which I have from growing up in New Zealand, not because I'm posh, I'd like to say. Anyway, basically, like, even within Glasgow, if you don't have the really like hardcore Glasgow accent, which is very much associated with like traditional Glasgow culture, like quite industrial, probably like working out on the shipyards and stuff like that. But if you have a sort of perceived knobby, educated, like middle class accent, that's why it's called the Glasgow Uni accent. Gotcha. People are like, oh, fucking hell, Glasgow Uni accent, Glasgow Uni wanker. It's like, Jesus, even within Glasgow, there's two different accents and people yeah. use it to pick apart class, where you're from, who your parents are, what you do, da 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 da, yeah. all within that one yeah. sphere is really weird.
The same as sort of like the Yorkshire, well, you know, not regionally, but you know, there's Yorkshire Lancashire divide. You can tell so easily based on how someone says the word spoon, whether they're from Yorkshire, whether they're from Lancashire.
Is it like spoon in one?
Yeah, I'm going to butcher it if I try and do yeah. it. But you can if you've got the ear for it, you can tell. Or, you know, I can tell, you know, sometimes I've been like traveling and I'll hear someone say something, I'm like, you're from Barnsley, aren't you? And they're like, yeah, how do you know that? And I'm Barnsley? Like, I just exactly, yeah. exactly. Yeah. You just got a sense for it. Yeah. yeah. What about you, Alice?
I feel like it's similar to Em, where like I had a much stronger accent growing up and then lost it, specifically at uni.
Yeah.
I sort of abandoned it. Well, not abandoned it on purpose.
Some of it's assimilation. You know, we're around.
Just goes away.
We're around a very kind of RP, received pronunciation.
It's code switching, yeah. It's a way of, yeah. All of us, I think, probably were trying to fit in a little bit, and yeah. it happens sometimes without you noticing.
100%.
Coming home from the holidays, parents like, who are you?
Yeah. yeah. I remember coming home from uni, and like my mum was telling me a story. I was like, oh, yeah. And my mum was like, yeah, you can fucking knock that off right now. I was like, okay, let me reel that in real quick.
Yeah, yeah, I think getting called stupid by that boy that I slept with in first year.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. yeah. That was a real
name,
like,
redacted, but
yeah.
And he, because I'm for context, I'm from Derbyshire, which is specifically, I'm from Matlock in Derbyshire, which is the Peak District. So I'm nearer Sheffield than I am Derby. And again, this is like where the like micro, because like someone from Derby won't sound the same as someone from Matlock, even yeah. though they're in the same county.
Yeah.
But because of where I'm from, because the Peaks are really more associated with Yorkshire and with Manchester, and where I live is just at the bottom yeah. of the Peak District. So I'm very much on the border mm. between the Midlands and the North.
Yeah.
So when I started uni, I thought, oh, well, we're in the South. So if I say I'm from the North,
you were doubling down on being from the North.
No one's gonna pick me up on
no
it. But then,
you met me, and I was like, girl, you're not from the North.
Yeah, and also my two housemates, so the two boys I was living with, like one's from Lancashire. One's from Lancaster, and the other's from Cheshire.
Some cheese, Gromit.
Which, to be fair, being from Cheshire, I always thought that was cheeky because Cheshire and Derbyshire are on the same anyway. But yeah, I quickly was like, oh, actually, no, I'm not from the North. But then, like, the East Midlands has nothing going on. Like, you don't want to be from the Midlands. Sorry to any Midlanders listening to this. And I am a Midlander, so I'm saying it from experience. But, like, yeah, like, West Midlands, Birmingham, Brummy accent.
You've got Bakewell Tart.
We've got Bakewell Tart.
Bakewell Pudding.
/ Bakewell Pudding. Only people from the North. Bakewell Pudding's maybe the only thing that comes from Derbyshire.
Have you ever had a Bakewell Pudding?
I've had a Bakewell Tart.
Yeah, they're slightly different. But, like, basically that originated in Derbyshire. Yeah. But it's such, like, a... And, like, the accent is very much, like, basically from the town I was born and raised in, similar to a Sheffield, South Yorkshire accent. So not West Yorkshire, South Yorkshire, but it's a lot of similar things. Like, I think instead of, like, out, it's out and no.
Yeah.
And, like, rate for really, summit for something.
Yeah.
You rate. A up duck.
Yeah, you read A up duck. That's yeah. very Yorkshire as well.
So it's a lot of it's just like trickle down.
Yeah.
And I can totally get why you'd be like, well, I feel like I'm from the North because we share so much like slang and like ways of talking, like you said, with people from Yorkshire. And it's like, it's very much cultural and to do with linguistic things that you share, which is probably why there's so much crossover between Scottish culture and Irish culture. You know, we're saying, what's the crack? He's an idiot. You know, that kind of thing. But one of the things that I always get sad about, is because of things like TikTok, and it's so easy for people to make videos, get their point out quickly, reach other people, and then receive content from all over the world. While that's an incredible thing, what it does is it's creating this kind of like global, like linguistic globalization, where we are starting to lose dialect, and it's really important because it is just the key to your cities. And that's one thing that I always feel kind of worried about. It's like, how do you preserve dialect without being a sort of like reform voter and being really right wing?
Yeah, without gatekeeping it.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I know how it feels to be shut out as someone who like was an immigrant to the country. But once I was inside it and could get it and was part of the culture and then was welcomed with open arms, I was like, oh man, this is really important. I understand why there's this kind of like language and what it means to be like within a culture. But what I wanted to talk about was when slang comes in, so from other places. And this I think is absolutely awesome. So I don't know if you know anything about how much like the French language is changing.
It's changing now.
All my knowledge of that is to do with A, debates around like gendered language and, you know, like, you know, marking everything as either male or female. And neutral. And then the other thing is, like, I know about Paris slang and
Verlan, where it's inverted.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fascinating. Do you know about that, Al?
No.
So it's basically, like, they will take a word in half and then, like, flip it around. So let's say instead of saying doctor, you would say tour doc. So, like, the word Verlan is actually like a flipped around version of the French word l'envers. So it's like you're just like switching it around. So it's almost like pig Latin, but it's really common in the Paris like banlieue and stuff. And that's what's really cool is like the French language is something that's so protected because it's historic and it's considered romantic and it's beautiful. Mm. But what is really cool is with like Arabic migration into France and with French dialects, for example, in like the Ivory Coast and stuff, French is changing and it's being fused with Arabic, and that's now coming back into mainland France itself. Mm. So, for example, like in French, you'll hear wesh a lot, which is like, what's up? Kiffe is to love something. Again, that's got like an Arabic root as well. Miskin means like shame on someone. Like these are all words that have come through. It's actually a lot of like young rappers from the Ivory Coast and stuff
really cool.
who are kind of making their music. It's making its way to like mainstream France. And then French teenagers are like, this is awesome. Like, let's really pick cool. that up. And it's happening in English as well. So in London, we hear a lot of like, mashallah,
yeah.
Ondine, halal, haram, wallahi. You know, these are all influences from other places. And then, do you know the origins of the word bint?
No, I don't actually.
It's such a strong word.
It's I love so bint. Strong. So like, oh, she's a silly bint. Yeah, like it means like slag or like idiot or whatever. But it's actually a loan word from Arabic and it means girl or daughter. And the term was adopted into English by British soldiers and servicemen who were stationed in Egypt and in the Middle East. And then the original Arabic term was a neutral term. And then classic, by the time it made its way over to the UK,
we made it an insult.
We made it into something that was insulting. But like language has always been a patchwork of outside in and travelling and stuff like that. So yeah. I think while it's really important to always protect and preserve local dialect, it's really exciting when those things all kind of start to fuse. As long as you keep the core the same, but you welcome new words and new people with open arms, I think that's always good fun.
Totally.
Yeah.
What I mean, a beautiful summary.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a really... Because, I mean, it's relevant as well to the UK, which is essentially just a mishmash of Old English, French, Latin.
Yeah.
Like, and I think... when we have all of these sort of, I don't know, like anti-immigration people protesting about immigrants or asylum seekers, it's like, babes, like this, the entire country is a country of immigrants. Not entirely, but like historically, we've been invaded over and over again. And like, that's how our language and culture has evolved. And that's why Southern accents are so different to Northern accents. It's because you've got a lot of Old English influence. In the north.
Yeah, because like, even if you look at stuff that's like So for example, like chicken tikka masala was made in Glasgow because someone ordered like a traditional Indian curry in Glasgow, and then they complained it was too dry, and then this guy like poured a can of tomato soup into it, and then chicken tikka masala was born.
Wow. No way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's up for debate, but the most popular story credits a chef called Ali Ahmed Aslam from the Shish Mahal restaurant in the 1970s. So a customer, yeah, found his chicken tikka too dry and then asked him to add
clickbait. These three women think that the chicken tikka masala was made in Glasgow.
I'm sure it was. But also, like, you know, even things that we associate with being, like, quintessentially British, so for example, like, fish and chips and ice cream, like that's come from Italy. Like there's a reason that there's so many Glaswegians with the last name Capaldi and Nardini and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Louis Capaldi, famous Scot, yeah. Italian last name.
Pizza Capaldi.
Yeah.
Any other Capaldis? No, I don't know any other Capaldis.
No, those are two of the biggest ones.
Those are two hard-hitting Capaldis. Yeah. I was just going to say, like, I feel like I've done a lot of talking. I don't know if you guys have any other points that you wanted to hit about slang or dialect or how things are changing.
My main takeaway
from
the episode, which, A, super interesting, because I didn't know a lot about the kind of, like, anti-language and anti-society and how slang, where it comes from and why it's important.
Mm.
But I think crucially what you've hit really well is the fact that it's about finding a way of belonging and finding a way of community. And when you're on holiday and someone says, are you from Barnsley?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I get it sometimes, someone's like, often they'll ask if I'm from Yorkshire, because Derbyshire, who's from Derbyshire?
Yeah.
but like, it's like a lovely way to connect with other people and to feel like you're at home. And I think at uni, I definitely took a lot of comfort in having people around me in a university that's very dominated by people from the southeast. No offense to people from the southeast with RP accents. I think having like a group of people with Welsh accents, Scottish accents, Lancashire, Cheshire, Yorkshire. It's really nice.
A bit of a miracle that, I mean, we all came up through sort of either the north or the Midlands or Scotland, and we all, you know, came up through state schools and stuff, and to be in Oxford, which can be quite an intimidating and unified environment in terms of the type of person that is there. Obviously, you know, we're all very similar in quite a lot of senses, but to bring a bit of, like, at the very least, linguistic diversity into that environment, it's cool and something that, I know, it's really nice that we have that and had that experience.
Definitely. If I'd had a better sense of myself at 18... Obviously, it's very easy for me to say this at 26 now. I wish I'd held on to my accent a little bit more as a form of resistance based on what we're talking about, because you almost have your own teeny tiny anti-language within that very elite institution of RP accents and crazy education and stuff. But almost all of us assimilated, tried to drop parts of our accent, tried to kind of fit in. But I'm really proud of it now. Even though I don't have much of an accent, I wish I had more of an accent.
I think you have an accent.
Yeah, you guys do. People in Glasgow don't think I have an accent. I had someone ask me the other day if I was South African, and I was like, I'm not. Like,
that'll be the Kiwi.
Yeah, I think it's because I clip my vowels.
Yeah.
So, like, even the way I say, like, South Africa probably sounds
a little bit.
But yeah, I think being really proud of your accent and your local slang and using it as a way to welcome others into understanding your culture, using it as an olive branch instead of using it to keep people out is always awesome. And yeah, I'm super proud of Glasgow and how it kind of, like, tries to put its arms around people coming in and pull them into the culture. Okay, Sophie, here's what square go means. Okay, you're from New Zealand, so you don't know what piliwali means. This is how you use it. I think that was really cool.
That's a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah, I think perfect note to end on.
Beautiful. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Let's go get, insert word for, what's a word for smashed?
Mad with
Bluted.
Let's go get mad with it.
Bluted?
Bluted, very good.
There we go. That's great. All I've learned today.
Thanks so much, guys. Cheers.
Thank you.